All right. This is a call. Dead anybody that is struggling with regains. So you may be, maybe you've been a member for a while and you've had a slight regain. Maybe you're in maintenance and you've kind of gotten a little bit out of your maintenance range. Maybe you are, you just joined an OBS because you've regained some weight. Wherever you are, all you got to do is raise your hand, and that is what this call is all dedicated to towards today. So let me pull up my screens. And I don't know if y'all noticed this, but my screen is flipping around kind of crazy. Let's see. Let me get Coach Lisa up. I think it's because I've got things converting on my computer. And let me make sure that the view is set to gallery. Yep. And then we're going to call on Janice first. All right. Let's see if we can get Janet up. Thank you, Maureen. She said, my office looks beautiful. This is actually a studio. It's not even a real office. It's a real desk. That's my real laptop. That's my real note taking. Well, where is our person? Did they come up? I see. No, that's just Coach Lisa. Well, I don't know what happened. All right. Everybody who wants coaching today, you need to raise your hand. I feel like I was trying to call up somebody and she got lost in the mix. All right, well, let's call Angela up. And let's see. All right, says she's coming. But yeah, this is a studio, so it's not even a real office.
Am I
But we were
here?
just, yeah, I'm not sure why I can't see you though. Do you have your camera on?
Hi, I'm actually
On.
Angela, but somebody else made that voice.
That was me. I'm sorry. I'll
Ah,
shut up. I can't
no.
figure this out.
Who's the other
Go
person?
ahead. Janice.
Who's our other person?
Janice.
Okay, Janice, if you will mute and leave your
Okay, will
camera
do.
off, I will coach
Yep.
Angela first, and then I'll come to you, okay?
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome. All right, Angela, tell me the things.
The things. I was a preschool teacher for a long time, and then I went and got my master's and then got into elementary school. Was in it for about 5 years, and it just got so hard, and then my family life also got hard at the same time. So I quit. I took a year off. I wanted to go do something without children, career pivot. And so for a whole year, I looked for work and just kept applying, got about a maybe a dozen interviews in about a year, but nobody said yes. And then, it's coming on a second year of no work, and I have a partner that will take care of me now, and I had my savings, so I was all right, so I could do another year. But there's this there might be an offer to be an assistant preschool teacher that I might have gotten through interviewing.
Okay.
And so I really have to figure out. I've either got to get my mind around going back to the job hunt and being okay with it, and or I've got to really be okay with being an assistant teacher and figuring out, just figuring out my life at these two convergences.
And what does it have to do with a regain?
I'm really worried. I'm just, if I don't have my mind right, I am just going to start comforting myself with food because I'm already doing it. I'm already like, I have a big decision. I need to go have pancakes and, to get through the decision making. I'm already surrounding myself in comforting food.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Why do you eat pancakes to make a decision?
Because I think I want it to feel better. I want it to feel like a...
What do you want to feel better?
That the decision-making be less difficult because you're really facing the reality of the situation that you couldn't get a job anywhere else besides assisting.
And why is that a bad thing?
It feels like, you know, what I did when I was 19 and 20, and I thought I was, you know, getting better and smarter and more, you know.
Well, how has not being able to find a job and what you want to do, how does that have anything to do with how smart you are?
Yeah, it just feels
anything
like
to do with each other.
I don't know. It feels like if the job thought I was smart enough, I would get it.
Do you think people aren't hiring you because you're not smart enough? Or do you think they're not hiring you because there's probably a jillion candidates?
Yeah, there's definitely a jillion. And I'm not as qualified because I'm in education and I'm not going into education.
Okay, so that's very different. Like, I want you to think about this. That's very different. Like, there's, I'm dumb. I'm not smart enough. And then there's, I'm probably not getting hired because I'm not going into education. I'm taking something that I'm really smart and qualified for over here and trying to apply it over here, and they just don't see it that way.
Yeah. And there was a couple of, like, I tried to get into a bunch of education jobs and just nothing, nothing, nothing.
Okay. So I would venture to say that you're highly smart, that if there's just nothing over there, to stop looking.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's kind of dumb to keep beating your head against a wall.
Right? Right?
Yeah. Doesn't that feel a lot better than I'm a big dummy? Nobody wants me. Other than just, there's no jobs over there. And I'm trying to take something that I'm doing and I'm trying to apply it to something that they're saying, like, no, we need this. That has nothing to do with my intelligence.
Right.
It's called not a match.
And like, it's like now that I've taken a year to understand what job hunting is and what it entails, like I'm also much smarter. I could do it while having an assistant job, probably.
Okay, so why do we need to eat pancakes if we know that I'm better at interviewing, I can get a job as an assistant, and while I'm doing that, I can keep applying for other jobs, and hopefully I'll find something that I love, or that I want, at least.
Right,
why do
yeah.
we need pancakes if we're thinking that way?
It does, yeah, I wonder if it is just, it just feels a little bit shameful being like, you know, I'm going to have to tell people I did get a job and have to be like proud that I got a job, you know, with benefits and good hours and it's close to my home and helping my community and not just like, I got an assistant job, you know, like what I used to do when I was 19.
Right. But I want you to think about this. That's the story you're telling yourself that makes you eat pancakes.
Yeah.
There's a story of like, here I am. No, I'm dumb and no better than I was when I was 19. I've gone backward. And then there's the story of like, hey, I got me a job. Looks like I'm going to have insurance and benefits. And if I want a different job, I can always keep on applying because I'm getting better and better because I'm getting my reps in.
Right. Like it is the smarter choice, isn't it?
Well, this version of you and me totally agree. And then there's this other version of you who's being a jerk and is just like, no, we should feel terrible about this. And everybody's going to think this. And it's like, only if you went up to him and said, hey, by the way, I just need to let you know, I'm going back to the job that I did when I was 19 because I'm just a big ass dummy now.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is the funny thing about what you tell people.
Yeah.
However you tell it is what they'll believe. If you tell it like it's the greatest thing ever, people are like, wow, you're so excited. This must be the greatest thing ever. If you go in, it's like, I got this fucking teacher assistant job. It sucks. You know, I did that when I was 19. I'm kind of ashamed about it. They're gonna be like, oh yeah, I bet you feel really bad.
Right? Right? Yeah, it's crazy. Just how I always talk about everything so negatively and like try to do things so hard. And it was like, yeah, the talking to yourself hard is comforting, right?
Yeah, well, it definitely is comforting when it's followed up with a treat of pancakes behind it. Like, why would
That's the
your brain,
pattern.
like, literally, if y'all feed your negative thinking is gonna be like, oh my God, do you know what happens when we call ourselves dumb? We get to go have pancakes. And then your brain's gonna wake up every morning and be like, you're a big fat dummy. Let's go get pancakes.
Oh my God, right? I know that's probably a habit I need to like undo. But like for your birthday, I will now be I fill up this water bottle that is 5 pounds.
Okay.
And that is what I do every morning for you. And I do it and I do it. So even though I'm pretty scared to get back on the scale because I found out about this job thing like 2 weeks ago. And but I think because I made that kind of promise to myself to just drink, get that water filled up, just have it on me, I've probably not done as much damage as I could have done.
This is what I know always happens when we face the music. The time between when you first start thinking you need to weigh or look at any bad news. This happens to me all the time because like there is no way to run a business without seeing bad news on the weekly. Like we could have like 10 things go well. We're always going to have one thing that's just a fucking stinker. Doesn't matter. Sometimes it's like right the opposite. And I get to where I like, sometimes I get so anxious and stuff. I don't want to look at the numbers. I don't want to look at things. And so I've really been pulling this apart because this happens on the scale so bad. The time from when you go into hiding, the moment you stop weighing in and you hide from that number up until you actually face it, is absolutely the worst. It's not the moment when you weigh in. It is the dread. It is the worry. It is the guessing. It is the thinking it could be bad. I just want you to think like when you're, it's like, think of the scale right now. You getting back on the scale is like Freddy Krueger. And you're spending all of your time trying to hide from Freddy Krueger. No one ever says, well, that's a damn good time. Like, you know, all the hiding and running from Freddy and imagining what he's going to do for me and do to me and stuff. Good time. I'm saving myself so much fear and anxiety. No, the whole time you're hiding, you have fear and anxiety. Then when you come face to face with Freddy, you're either going to kill him or you're not. If he kills you, you're at least you're dead. You won't know it. So there you go. But chances are it's going to hurt for a second. And then quickly your brain is going to normalize to it. So let's say you gained 5 pounds in 2 weeks. That 2 weeks of you hiding feels like shit. And nobody can ever tell me that it feels better because there's not, because you are sitting there thinking, I probably gained. You're probably already beating yourself up for all the things that you think probably got you to gain. You're doing everything that you're afraid you'll do when you weigh in. Except when you don't weigh in, you do it for a long period of time. And when you're hiding, you're not doing it. All your energy goes into the hiding part. You're having to work on hiding. You're having to figure out how to hide. You're having to eat to hide. Because you have all the anxiety about hiding. When you weigh in and you say, all right, 5 pounds. I'm not saying you gained 5 pounds. We're just using an example.
Oh, yeah.
You weigh in, you say you gained 5 pounds. In that moment, it feels like ass because your brain is like, see, I knew it. You're such a loser. And it will like have its moment. And then your brain is naturally going to like, it has its, like, it gets to say what it was most afraid of. And then you kind of have this lull of like, what are you going to do about it? Now that we know the truth, almost all of us feel flat after that. And we're just like, shit, I need to do something. And that's the magic. It's like, can you just hold space? And all that means is, can I just realize that if I face my fear, it's going to feel bad for a little bit because my brain's going to say a lot of stuff. I'm willing to let it throw it at me. If I have to cry, I'll cry. If it's just a bunch of beat downs, I will breathe through it. But the whole time I'm going to tell myself, I knew this part was coming. I knew this part was coming. And I also know that once that part's over, I'm probably going to be armed with knowledge and motivation to do something about it. Not excitement type motivation, but willingness motivation. Because I think there's like two types of motivation. There's motivation that all of you always want. Y'all always want like this kind of motivation. You want motivation of like a 3-year-old running naked through the sprinklers on a hot summer day. We are not 3-year-olds. We are rarely, as grown-ass women, especially if we're in menopause and perimenopause, excited motivation is hard to come by hormonally. So we're more in the willingness bucket. And in the willingness bucket of motivation, it feels very different. It's like, now that I know where I'm at, am I willing to start doing some shit? What am I willing to do? Can I just today? And we're quickly now moving out of the energy of beating ourselves down, fear, hiding, and anxiety. We're actually moving into what we call now I feel a little productive. Now I feel a little grounded. Now I feel a little neutral. I don't feel as bad as I was feeling. And then we can make some progress. And then through the progress, we get to actually feel more of the things that we want to feel.
Yeah, it feels like once you know the facts, once you step back on the scale, maybe you're taking that mask off Freddy Krueger and you're just seeing him for, who he is.
Yep.
It's just some weight. You've done it before. You know how to do this. You know how to do this.
Yeah. He's just a movie. He's not real. And that's usually what it is. It's like when you do it, and I appreciate all of you. It is hard to get on the scale when you're afraid. The hardest thing to do in life is to do something scary. That is literally the hardest thing to do when something is scary. But I always remind myself, it's like, oh my God, I'm just afraid. I'm going to need to do it. And I know it's going to, like, I just know me. I know that if I have a gain, if I see something that a number that I don't like, whether that's in my checking account, my business account, on my scale account, wherever that number is going to come up, I always know, I'm like, friend, it's time and time again. You have proven to yourself it hurts for a minute. I don't want to spend 2 to 3 weeks hiding and in fear. Because if I'm hiding and in fear, it's really hard for me to stop it enough. It's really hard for me to make a decision. Like I can't make good, healthy decisions for myself because I'm too busy trying to protect myself from all this fear. I don't have the energy for that. I've got to be able to get on the scale and just say, girl, be disappointed. Be mad at yourself if you want to. Bitch and moan for 20 minutes if need be that you should have done better. Let it out. But then take what you know and move forward. And this is always the neatest thing. And I think a lot of us have like experienced this, and maybe you have too. We often imagine it's really bad. In our mind, oh my God, it's going to last forever. I'm never going to quit talking negative to myself. It's probably 10 pounds, not 5 pounds. Like, it's always very dramatic. And then you face it, and it's never what you thought it was. So I think something helpful for you would be tomorrow morning, I want you to weigh in. I want you to just know, what am I dealing with? I already know I did some pancake eating. I already know I've done some overeating. So I may or may not have gained weight. And then write down before you get on my worst case scenario thoughts are like, this is what I've been so afraid of. This is what I'm afraid I'm going to tell myself. This is how much I think I've gained. Blah, 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 blah. Then get on there and then take a few deep breaths and then write about, and here's what really happened. Just at least tell the truth. Because more times than not, what I see, what really happens is it's never as bad as what you made it out to be. Sometimes we don't gain as much. Sometimes we gain like 1 pound more than we thought, 2 pounds more than we thought, but it doesn't sting any worse than what we thought it would. Like, it just give yourself the gift of seeing that on paper so that the next time you have to go through this, because there's always a next time, the next time it's not near as long for the hiding. You save yourself a lot of energy on that stuff. Because when you write it down and you show it, it's like, oh, now I can put this in my memory bank of it's never as bad as I think. I've been practicing that a lot the last few months on like on the business side of things. Like Chris handles all of the financial stuff. And for a long time I was kind of in it. And then I got out of it because I was like working on the marketing and everything. And then I come back in and I don't know, like numbers, they overwhelm me, they scare me. I read into it, like my brain treats business numbers like y'all treat scale numbers. That's kind of where I'm at this stage of my life. And I've been really working on this. And so I've been doing exposure therapy, literally looking at them and telling myself, here's all the worst case scenarios I'm drumming up. Here's all the things I'm thinking about. And then I look at them and I'm like, oh, that didn't hurt as much as I thought. It, some things are disappointing, but some things are better than I thought. So it's helped me neutralize the experience some, so I don't get as worked up anymore. And now I pretty much look at my numbers every week.
Nice, nice. And you know what? I wonder too if, like, first writing it down, just those numbers on the scale, and then, like, maybe I could go on Facebook just because I'm not letting it out. I'm not communicating about it. Like, some I was worried about my financial stuff through the year, and I was able to talk to my partner about that and vent about that and just survive the facts of that, and it was, fine. And I don't really have anybody who I just kind of vent about my weight with. I just, just secretly keep it inside, and it needs to come out.
And like, so there's three ways for it to come out. One is, well, four technically. You just did it here. That's one way, is to get on a coaching call. Version two is Facebook, but going in there and talking to the members and saying, like, here's what's going on in my head. Here's what, blah, blah, blah. Because I'm in Facebook often. The members are in there. Like most of the time, the members handle it really well. And I'm like, I ain't got nothing to add. These bitches are so well trained at this point. They know what to say. And then another way is doing your own journaling, being there for you, talking to yourself about it. When you try to keep it in your head, y'all, your brain was never meant to outthink your problems in your head. If you look back in history, scholars and like, really smart people throughout, I mean, I'm talking way back in the hundreds, not just the 1900s, the hundreds. They did a lot of writing. They wrote a lot about what was going on and what was happening, and they processed on paper. Our brains were always designed to process outside of our head, not inside of our head. The inside of our head is meant to be habitual, to think like it always does, to conserve as much energy as possible. Most of you don't even realize that your brain is the biggest energy suck of your entire body, of everything. I don't care if you go work out every day. Your brain actually uses more calories than any other function of your system because it's always working and it is in charge of all of it. Nothing happens in the, no, your heart can't beat without your brain sending the signal. Your colon can't make poop without your brain sending a signal. Like your brain is really like the board of directors, and it's working all the time, and it gets exhausted. And that's why it doesn't like to have you trying to figure shit out up here. It doesn't like to-do lists up here. It will worry because it's like, I'm not meant to store your lists. I'm not meant to store your worries. I'm not meant to do that. You are meant to process things out. And so, if you want to allow your brain to be able to think clear and have less stress and to be able to operate better and your body feel better and everything, more writing, less thinking.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm gonna fill up some notebooks.
I know a lot of you don't like doing the writing. I get that. But here's what I bet most of you don't like either. You don't like worry and anxiety at all. You don't like sitting around eating because you feel like shit. There's a lot you don't like. So you sometimes we just have to choose what is the hard I'm willing to do? Because I've got the hard life when I keep it all up in here and I'm eating and I'm worrying and I'm overwhelming and I'm forgetting things. I'm doing all that. Or I can do the hard part, put it down on some fucking paper and I don't like it. I never do. I judge myself for whatever I put down. Okay. If you judge yourself, then judge yourself while you do it and then work on the judgment. But get to the point where you get to the easy life. Doing it the way y'all been doing it is not ever going to get you there.
Yeah, and
Okay.
the journaling I've been doing, I got to look back over it and see how much progress I have done. So I'm so glad you're all here. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Angela. Bye. And good luck, whatever you do. Good luck. Karen. This call has a lot of journal fans on it. The chat is lit up with y'all. All right. Let's see if Karen pops up on the screen. There we go. I don't trust Zoom today. I think Zoom's being a naughty child. There you go.
It is.
All
I
right.
was doing weird things when I was trying to. Well, when you said start writing, I started writing.
Okay.
I've already got tears. I haven't really talked to anybody about this.
Okay.
Kind of been in denial. My left arm, which
Your
was
left arm. Okay.
injured in the car crash, is not doing well to the point that most of my favorite things that I do at the gym, I can't do anymore.
Okay.
And I kind of been talking myself through it and really felt like Friday I'd put on a brave face and that it would be okay and I'd just work around it and maybe things will change again. And then I realized the last 2 days I have been binging. And I look back the last couple, this has been going on about a month and a half.
Okay.
And looking back on that time, I realized how many times I've said, it's like I'm throwing a fit. Fuck it. If I can't do that, why am I doing anything?
Okay. So let me ask you this. What are you making it mean that you can't do the things in the gym that you want to do?
I'm disappointed. I'm frustrated. I'm mad. I'm hating my body.
I think mad is good.
I'm disappointed.
I think disappointed's good. I'd be disappointed if I couldn't use my left arm to do the things I like. That's normal. I think being mad is also very normal. But what is it that has you binging?
Because I've lost something that was very important to me and that made me feel so good. And
What
I
have you lost other than some exercises?
I lost the ones that I love that made me feel strong and confident.
You ain't lost that step mill, and it looks like you feel strong and confident on that bitch.
I hate that fucker.
No, you don't. You know how I know you don't?
Because I keep doing
Because,
it.
but, well, not only that, but because you post a lot
It's part
about
of what
it.
I do on them.
Exactly. You don't hate it.
And
You're
I.
very proud of your progress. So be very careful at this stage. If you've got exercises that you can't do, it's normal to mourn those. But you're throwing it all away
And
for
that's,
those.
I was trying to talk myself out of that, and I started to blame myself, and I actually did it by getting more help. I started having physical therapy for mobility and stretching and everything. And what happened is they released the muscle, the scar tissue, and all the ligaments. And so the bone that was stabilized against each other isn't anymore. So when
Okay.
I put pressure on, the one bone slides past the other, which is quite uncomfortable.
So you haven't, so we just want to soften your story a little bit. You're telling your story very dramatically.
It feels
And then,
very.
right. And when it feels dramatic, we tell it dramatically, or we tell it dramatically, so then it feels very dramatic.
I
It's like a
think
chicken
that.
and the egg. We don't necessarily always know which one comes first, but it doesn't matter. But here's what I want to tell you. We've got to soften your story a little. Like, I've not lost everything that I love to do. I've lost some exercises that I love to do that make me feel this way. I mean, just think about the difference, because it's true. Otherwise, you wouldn't go to the gym at all. If you literally lost it all, you couldn't do a leg day.
I think it's just, this just hit me. I think I feel the same way I did when I had my crash. I went from here's who I am to instantly here's your new life. And it just hit me that that's what I worked so hard to get where I could do stuff. I was just being able to do a plank. I could, bench press 120 pounds. And now it's gone.
It's not gone.
Well,
You
it is
think
the fact that I
you're
can't do it.
it depends on what you're defining as it. You have some exercises that right now you cannot do. I mean, is that true?
Yeah.
But why don't you want to tell that story? This is what I'm so interested in. I am offering you a lighter story. I am offering you the truth. I am offering something that you absolutely believe, because we both just agreed that you could do a leg day, you could do the step mill all day long.
Not all day long.
There's all kinds of that. Well, yeah. Me and you, sister, we cannot do the step all day long. But there are lots of things you can still do, but you're saying, nope, I refuse to feel good. I refuse. I want to feel bad about this. Why do you want to feel bad about it? Versus, like, maybe there's some softness here that I could give myself.
And say that I thought I was doing really well with a couple people that I'd shared it with, saying, it means I can focus on other things I need to get stronger with. I mean, I still need to work on my stamina and my endurance, which the Stairmaster and all that's doing. I don't know the possibilities with, if I can regain muscle in that arm, will I get the stability?
Yeah. So, like,
There.
why are we not saying all of that and saying, and there's a part of me that's going to miss all these exercises? And there's a part of me that was so proud of my strength. So how am I going to be still be proud of myself? Even like, you still get to be proud of yourself, Karen. Just because you can't bench 120 right now doesn't mean that you don't get to enjoy the gym. It doesn't mean you don't get to keep improving. It doesn't mean dick other than I'm not benching. I'm probably not going to do shoulder presses. I'm just not going to be using this arm right now.
Maybe part of it is just really a big ass pity party.
Okay, then at least say to yourself, I'm having a pity party, but this isn't true. Like, I'm gonna have a pity party and I'm gonna keep going to the gym. I'm gonna have a pity party for the things that I can't do and I'm gonna go to the gym and do other things. This is where we get to live in that and. I was on the last call talking about where you wanna bring two versions of you and let them just sit there with you. It's like you're gonna walk into the gym with the version of you who is like, oh my God, we don't get to do the things we loved. And that is bullshit. And I'm mad and I'm disappointed and I'm going to cry about it. I'm going to do all these things. And I'm also bringing the version of me who's like, we ain't quitting. Like, she's coming along for the ride. She's like, come on, girl. I got tissues. You can cry on step mill.
And that, you know, that's where I was. I mean, I even told them at Therapy Friday that, you know, this is a perfect example of a time to pivot like a motherfucker.
Or just, yeah, for sure. But use the power and where, like, just honor. There's a part of it. I get this energy from you from the beginning of the call where it's like, I think you said, like, it's all been taken away from me or
That's
something.
how
You
I
said
think.
something. Yeah, like, it
And it
feels
isn't
that way.
everything. I mean, I still have my arm.
Exactly. And you still have exercises you can do, and you still have lots of things that you can be doing for yourself to be very proud of. It can't, like, honestly, a bum arm can't take away your pride.
No.
Only you can do that.
No, and I don't feel like it took away my pride.
Okay.
I think I've loved being so physically strong because of everything I've gone through.
Yeah.
And I think part of it is the big fear of, oh, look what you just lost.
All you lost was bench presses. Like
Know there's
literally,
probably people going, what a great thing to lose. And
but
it,
I
you
want
know,
you to think about this. Like you keep telling, like, what is all to you? Because I think we need to define that when you say, and look at all that you've lost. What is all? Like, let's get really specific about what you think you're losing, and then let's see if that's true. So we know you've lost the bench press for
bench
sure.
press, pull-ups, planks, chest press, lat pull down. My trainer is out of the country right now, and I talked to her yesterday and I told her what was going on and that I can't do this stuff anymore. And her response is, I'm back Wednesday. We'll figure out what you can do.
Right. Okay. What else have you lost though? So we know you've lost upper body exercises, but what else in your brain? Like, I want you to really think about this. When you said, I've lost it all, what else is in it?
I feel like my strength was taken away.
You've lost all your strength. Like, that's been just taken away. What
I
else?
know it's stupid,
I know, but this is the thing.
but
We
that's
have
what
to
I
let
think.
our brain have its, like,
Yeah,
we
my
have
brain
to let
is.
our brain have its say. It's not that it's stupid. In your mind, somewhere, it all makes complete sense. And when we say it out loud, this is the good thing about getting coached, because when you say it out loud, you're like, now my logical brain is like, fuck is my habit brain thinking? It's like wrong. Like, we haven't lost everything. This is why we do this, so that we can say, like, oh, it feels really real on the inside, but if I don't poke some holes, it's just gonna keep feeling really real on the inside.
Well,
What
and that,
else?
you know, I've tried talking, and maybe part of it is I feel like I was talking a big game and really don't feel as secure about moving forward as I thought, because it's like, okay, I got to figure out how to build the muscle up there. That's going to be a whole different thing. It's going to be starting over. And there's other things like I can never do a burpee, but I'm
I
not going to
do
cry about
burpees.
that.
No, I was going to say I quit doing burpees 10 years ago.
I
I
mean,
have wicked arthritis in my two big toes, and it all came. This is why I tell people don't do them fucking burpees. They're not even good for you. There is no benefit
when
to
they
a burpee
put
will
both
never
burp
make your
and
arms
pee
look good
together.
ever. But I got wildly bad arthritis when I went through yoga teacher training because we essentially almost do a burpee when you hop back into plank. I jammed my toe so many times through 9 months that I have a lifetime of arthritis now because of it. So I don't do burpees because, I mean, if you want to watch Corinne limp around, make me do a burpee. So let's think about this though. I want to go back to in your brain, it's saying I've lost it all. So we have strength, but I want to know, like, is there any identity things that you're losing that you think it could be?
I think a little bit it is feeling like I'm going backwards into accepting the handicapped, which I don't like that term.
Then don't use it. Just say I got a bum arm.
Yeah, I definitely got that.
All right, why would you ever call it a handicap then?
Because I got the parking.
Well, if you want the parking, then just
Yeah, though
use
I do want the parking. That's convenient, but.
I just want you to see, it's just really important for you to talk it out.
That's what I'm trying to, because I can feel it all in here, just like choking me.
All right, so keep your eyes closed. Keep your eyes closed. Where is it choking you? Where is specifically in your body?
Right through my chest.
And like, what does it feel like? It's choking.
Like
Can
a
you
tightness.
describe it?
Like I
Like,
want to just completely break down.
okay,
And
let's.
what just came in my head is you fucked up.
Okay, let me ask you this.
I'm blaming myself.
Okay. So take a deep breath. We're going to talk to the part of you that's choking to find out what it wants to communicate to you. Are you okay with that, first of all?
Yep.
Okay. All right. I like to get permission, and I kind of just started and didn't get your permission. So,
Nope,
all
I want help with this or I wouldn't have asked.
right. So now that we have consent, in case Kathy Hartman's listening. I don't want to get in trouble by my own
Okay,
employees.
Kathy. It's okay.
Yeah. Nobody wants Kathy driving down here. She only lives 10 miles down the road. She'll kick my ass. So,
Gently, she'll quietly and just.
yeah. All right. So close your eyes and just get comfortable. And we're going to talk to the part of you that's like choking you. And it may or may not be there right now.
It's there.
Okay, it's still there. So I would love for you to just, we're going to pretend like we're looking at it and we're going to describe what it looks like in your body. Like, is it a color? Is it an object?
Orange.
It's orange.
It's orange and it's tight and it's fiery and it's angry. And I think what just came out is it's very judgmental.
Okay, so we're going to set aside the feelings and what we think it is because your logical brain is trying to pull it apart right
Yeah.
now. We just want to kind of get the energy around it really described. So it's living in
It
your chest.
it's really like inflamed and angry and tense. It's tight, it's gripping.
So orange, inflamed.
And as I'm describing it, I can feel it in my back and my shoulder blades.
Okay, so it likes to move around. Okay, that's good. When
My
energy,
fists are
see?
clenched now.
Yeah, when energy's moving and it's moving around your body or anything, that means that it's trying to talk. It's ready for a conversation. Okay. So we're going to talk to it.
Okay.
All right. And we're going to have a conversation where anything it wants to tell you, it gets to. So I want you to just ask it, what is it that you want to tell me? It sounds like it's angry. What else?
Scared.
Oh, so it's scared. What's it scared of?
Bad.
What do you think it, like, ask it, what are you scared of?
I won't find the same joy in other exercises as much as I did those things.
So I won't find as much joy.
And that the gym, which has become such an important and happy and safe place for me, might become a place I don't want to go, that I don't feel good at anymore.
So maybe ask it, are you afraid our safe place is getting taken away?
I'm afraid that all the good I feel when I go there and I accomplish things isn't going to be as strong, and it's not going to have the power that it had, and I'm scared of losing that.
So we're scared of losing our joy.
The joy and the pride and the accomplishment and but really the joy, that's the hardest part is even in my mind now, I see myself doing different things, upper body things that I love doing.
I want you to talk to the orange mass. And what would you like it to know about joy? What do you think it needs to hear? Because it's scared, and it's really scared that it's fixing to lose the place where its joy lives. What would you like your orange mass to know?
Oh, even the voice in my head just changed.
Okay.
It's telling me that we need to go back and remember when the gym was a scary place.
Okay.
And when we couldn't do any of this. And that we worked our way up to it. And we didn't know what we could do then. And it's the same now. Don't know what we can do. And if starting over with the arm is where it begins to find out what it can do, we go there. And just as much as, I mean, 2 years ago, if you told me I'd be crying because I can't do a pull-up, I would have sent you to the wacky ward. So it's like, there's a lot of stuff out there. There's a lot of exercise. There's probably lifting moves I don't even know exist that will also give me joy. I just need to look for them.
So maybe we tell the ball of orange
It's not orange.
oh, what is it?
Blue. Blue sky blue.
And why do you think, let ask it, why have you changed colors?
Because it has hope.
So here's something that maybe you tell me if you would love to tell now the blue. It's my job to protect our joy. It's my job to create joy for you. And I'm not going to let you lose that. I will figure out a way to keep our joy because it's important. And just because we can't find joy the way we've gotten used to, it doesn't mean that I can't learn to find joy because I've done it before already.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you'd like to tell it before we let it just be a beautiful blue in your chest?
Just that, we've never known and we never get to know how our path goes, so this is just another part of it, and we'll figure this out too.
Maybe from one old trainer that we can tell it is you may end up being stronger in your upper body when you do all this PT and you heal this arm more. Maybe not. But that's one thing we've not even been considering. We've only thought about what we're losing. We haven't really thought that we might even be able to lift better once we go through all this and we get to the other side. Maybe, maybe not. But we know that you'll never lose your joy because you're not going to let yourself lose it. It can't be taken away, it can only be given away.
I think what I would be best for me is the same thing that brought me the joy in the first place at the gym, was finding out what this unique arm of mine could do and how many things. I mean, I worked hard to get to where I was, so I didn't start out there.
Right. And you already know how to work hard. Just think, when you first started, you didn't know how to work hard in the gym. You already know how to motivate yourself to go. You already know how to work hard in the gym. You already know how to listen to a trainer. You're not starting over. Like the hardest parts are already done by the past you. You're not starting as a beginner. You're starting not with the beginner's mindset. You're just starting at the beginning stages to heal your arm or to work with your arm. That is the only part that's a beginner. But the parts we have to go and motivate and be over the fear of just showing up, you've already done that hard work. You already know how good it feels to go to the gym and to develop an identity there and stuff. You don't have to work on being afraid of that.
I
Okay.
should go to the gym now.
Tell you what I would like.
Stairmaster.
I would love for you to bottle a little bit of your gym enthusiasm and joy and send it to Nashville because I don't have any these days. All I do is sit there and bitch the entire time I'm going until I get about first two exercises knocked out and then I'm in a better mood.
I have more energy, but I have joined the owner of an orange cat club.
Oh God, good luck.
That's when I came home. Everybody said, "Are you sure?"
Yeah, we talked about how crazy our two are.
He thinks 2:30 is an optimum time and to get pet, and so I'm working on breaking that habit. I got a whole 6 hours of sleep last night.
Well, good luck. All right. Well, I hope you feel better.
I
Keep me
do.
posted on that arm.
That the only option if I saw an orthopedic surgeon would be to fuse it, and I refuse.
Okay. Well,
I'm
just
not having it stuck in one position. I use it for too many things. I want to be able to put my hair in a ponytail. I wanted.
Yeah. Well, you know that that's the decision. And if that's the decision, then now we say, like, all right, if this is the reality, here's what all we can do to protect. Just keep reminding yourself, my job is to protect my joy. My job is to not give it away. My job is to no longer say any of my joy's been taken from me, because that can't be done without my permission.
Well, my job now is to find new sources of joy.
Exactly. All right. Thank you, Karen. All
Thank you.
right. Bye. She cracks me up when she's on that damn step mill posting pictures and shit. I'm just like, oh my God. Cheryl, you're next. I need to get back on the step mill because I've been trying to glow this butt of mine forever. People keep telling me the step mill is going to help with all this legwork that I do. I don't know. I've got the eternal flat ass. I've always had wide hips, but I've never had a big butt, and I'm just like, ugh, growing an ass is hard. All right, we'll be coaching on Cheryl. Oh wait, you're muted. Don't tell me too much.
Okay. All right. So, it's really thundering like crazy here in South Florida. So, if I scream, that's why.
Okay.
Anyhow, so I was looking at your email and like the three reasons you put in there for if this call was good for you. I'm like, yep, all those things. So, I retired 2 years ago in June, 30 years as a teacher, and I had lost weight for retirement. I was having a big party and I wanted, and much more than, that, I wanted to be in great shape. My husband and I were going to do a lot of hiking and da 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 da. So I lost weight, and since then, it's been 2 years and I have gained 30 pounds. And I don't know when that happened. It's like I've always gained, I do this
Well, you do
dance
know
with.
when it happened. It happened over the last 2 years. What are you talking
Yes,
about? Don't let your
I
brain lie to you like that. I don't know when this happened when you just said over the last 2 years I gained 30 pounds.
Right. So, okay. Well, I don't know. That's not the correct. When I seem to have gained 30 pounds so many times, lost and gained the same 30 pounds. I had in 2020 when we were at home, teaching, I had two knee replacements and I think I only gained 20. I had lost weight for the surgeries, So anyhow, I'm finding myself in now I ended up and I was really. My heart went out to the last caller because I got a personal trainer for the first time in my life and I'm loving it. And the first month I lost 6 pounds. So this was about 3 months ago. I ended up, we've got a reformer in my living room. My husband calls it my toy, but realize that all these toys I've gotten over the years, they don't do anything. It's the person. So I really, really love working with the trainer. I feel like she's just like you. It's more than just weight, it's psychological, help. But the scale isn't, the scale keeps on going up and down 2 pounds. And I think the hardest part is I got my hair done last. I got the roots done on Thursday. Hadn't seen my hair lady, who were friends, and always talking about weight and stuff. And hadn't seen her in 4 weeks. And she's like, "Oh my gosh, you look so good. You're shrinking," she said, literally. And it's literally embarrassing because, well, I won't answer. I've never wanted to tell people. When they ask how much weight you lost, I find that kind of offensive because I feel like that's like my personal information, okay?
I just always tell people, thank you. I've been working very hard. And if say, like, people ask me all the time because my body changes a lot. And they're always asking me, well, how much weight have you lost and stuff? I always just say, like, nothing. I just, my answer is always nothing. Even if I've lost 10 pounds, if I've
Love
lost
it.
0 pounds, if I've gained 5 pounds, I just always say, nothing. I've just been working really hard. I've been just
Oh,
paying attention to my body. Like, I usually just
okay.
give answers like that. The really reason why I'm saying this is because I think it's really important that when you don't want to share that stuff, that you honor that part of you. And I think
Okay.
it's important for women. Women always want to know how much weight someone lost, but they and then they'll say, "And how did you do it?" As if somebody has like this magic answer. And so I always like to tell people that what I would love for them to do. And so it's always an answer, kind of like, you know, I've just been really consistent with my workouts, and I'm taking really good care of myself. I'm really paying attention to how foods reacting in my body. I'm just listening to my body cues now. Most women don't want to hear it, but that's what most women need to hear. They need to quit hearing about shots and pills and shakes and, you know, like whatever the latest craze of cutting some wild ass food group is out of their diet. They just don't need to hear that anymore. It's like, you know, they need to hear more people normalizing that I'm just really listening to myself. That's what I'm doing.
Okay, wow. That's
So what is it that you want to work on, though?
well, so half of what I mean, half of it is really my anxiety went down as you were talking because that answer, those answers are so great because I truly believe them. And I do, like I said to my hair lady, I said, oh, I feel really good. I feel strong, which, you know, this is like a huge thing for me when I could never do a whatever arm pull up, whatever. I'm not that. I can't even do a plank, but I do other stuff. But I feel so much stronger than I felt before. And my clothes fit better, way better. I decided to make a goal to fit into a pair of jeans that don't fit right now by the end of summer. But I do want the scale to go down, and I'm just I feel like I'm very I'm the not stopping at enough, only eating when I'm hungry. I do my plan in the morning. And you know what? Something weird has happened in the last few days. I feel like I'm stopping at enough. And then afterwards, I feel too full. And I mean, I'm talking, I had egg whites, I had a wrap with onions, egg whites. It wasn't like I had, and then I was like, oh my gosh, I feel like a little too full. So I don't know. Does that mean I'm not stopping at enough?
It could mean that. It could just mean it's taken a little bit. So maybe just trying leaving two bites behind, like nothing dramatic, but just a couple of bites. You know, two bites. People, I swear to God, for some reason, people think that leaving two bites behind is not enough. And I'm like, two bites for a lot of the things we're eating is 50 to 100 calories. And you do that over the course of a week. If you ate 21 meals, what is, let me just do some quick math for y'all. Y'all know I'm so good at the math. If you just did it 3 meals a day, 21, and let's just say on the low end, that's 50 calories, that's almost a half a pound. And then we're like, oh my God, that won't matter. And that is if you're eating an egg white wrap. Most of the time, y'all are trying to leave two bites behind, and y'all are leaving, we need to be leaving a couple of bites of pizza behind. We need to be leaving a couple of French fries behind. That stuff gets to where it ends up being more in the 100 calorie range. And so then if you do it by 100, now we're almost to a whole pound, leaving two fucking bites behind. So don't dismiss that. But if you notice that you are finishing meals, and when you finish, you feel fine, but 15 minutes later, you feel very full. I always say start with two bites behind until you get to where you really understand. Either leave two bites behind or you serve yourself two bites less. So, like if I'm let's say I'm dishing out my dinner and I'm going to have chicken and rice and beans and vegetables or something. And when I'm scooping, I'm probably going to always err on the side of eating my full protein just because I'm a menopausal woman. So I'm going to be trying to make sure I don't deprioritize protein. But I'm probably going to give myself like a half a scoop less of rice, a half a scoop less of beans. Not like a ladle or anything, but just a little bit less than I would normally serve. And I'm just going to keep every single day asking, am I getting to the point now where I can stop my meal and then 15 or 20 minutes later not feel full? When that happens, now I just need to pay attention to how much I'm serving myself because that's about enough for me.
Okay, that sounds good.
Any overeats, no emotional eats, anything like that.
Not really, no.
I mean,
Not really.
zero or not really? Because there's a difference between zero and not really.
Well, overeats and not emotional for right now.
All right, what are the overeats?
The overeats, for instance, my husband had me get him a pizza,
Yeah.
and I mean, I literally ate one piece, but then later, because I wanted him and his worker to have, the
What
rest.
they wanted. Oh, okay. Never mind. Go ahead.
And I embellished it with, peppers and onions, and just thinking, well, that's healthy. But then I later wanted more, so I had a piece of bread that I bought at Costco, really good rosemary bread, and I made it like a fake pizza with tomato and
Were you
cheese and
hungry?
stuff. By then I was hungry, but I felt like if it hadn't been there, I would have eaten, some chicken and something less.
Did you eat that?
Because I felt like, well, we hardly ever have this special bread.
So you lied to me. That's an
Oh
emotional
gosh.
eat.
Oh gosh,
That's scarcity eating. Like, well, this is the special bread that we don't have very often.
Oh
I'm
my
assuming that Costco's never going to supply this ever again. And you know my car's not going to work to go there.
Oh gosh. Oh no. Okay, well, that's
Oh
embarrassing.
no. No, it's not embarrassing. It's just be careful because what we love to do is not address, like we try to solve the wrong problems. So it's in those moments that when you want to quit dicking around with 2 pounds up and down, it's those little moments that's like, you know what? Those are the moments where I'm gonna have to tell myself, I know that bread looks special and I know I really want it, but I really would like the scale to be going down and not to be dicking around. Which means at this moment, I'm gonna want bread and think it's special and I'm gonna be having that chicken because I didn't plan it and this is an emotional eat. Because the version of you that really wants to lose weight just said she wouldn't have ate that. The version of you who's just like having a fucking good time in the moment because it's special bread is just like, no, fun, let's go. She's
Oh
very
boy.
emotional.
Yes. I guess I was in denial about the emotional. And that kind of made me think, well, there were some emotional BOGOs. Do you have BOGOs where you live?
Buy
Buy
one, get
one,
one
get
free.
one free. Yeah. Nuts that are coated, And the calories, they say like 140 calories for a serving, which seems like that's not outrageous, but they're
Oh, there's
coated with sweet, they're caramel coated pecans.
and there's nothing been wrong with those. I don't care if they're coated in, gold. It doesn't matter what they're coated in. It's when I buy them, am I buying them and I'm going to eat them with pure joy? Like, I'm going to plan it and it's going to make sense. And this is how I'm going to lose weight. Or am I just like, oh my God, it's buy one, get one free. Let me get those. And then I'm kind of just eating them sometimes without a lovely, true reason. Like when I have
Okay.
something like, like if I want to eat caramel pecans, I'm planning them so that I can sit and I can have them and I'm like good and hungry for them. I'm not starving for them, but when I say good and hungry, what I mean is like I like to eat things when my body needs something and I enjoy it. That is the easiest way to keep weight off. The hardest way to keep weight off is to eat stuff you enjoy whenever you feel like it.
Okay.
Like,
Well, that
it's
seems
really
very
hard. Your body is
right.
like full of fat that's called felt like it
Felt
food.
like it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And this goes back to that. I just did a Kryn 365 for y'all that's coming out later this week.
Oh,
And I
great.
say all the time, it's like, fuck your mood, follow your plan. My
Oh,
plan
wow.
always has plenty of things on it that I am going to enjoy. I
Okay.
never have to worry that I'm not going to get rosemary bread and pecan, laced in caramel. I don't have to worry about that because I'm a good planner. And when I plan things I enjoy and I make sure that I'm hungry for them. That
Right.
creates safety with food. It creates an abundance feeling with food. It allows me to think like, oh my gosh, I take care of all of my needs. What I don't do is just eat things because it's like, well, that sounds good. Well, I've got that in the house. Well, that's special bread. I better eat that now because when will I ever get that again? I tell myself
Right.
all the time,
Oh,
Corinne,
gosh.
you do not live in like the middle of Ethiopia where it's really hard to get food.
Right. Yeah, so that sparked another, as I said, I've been planning every morning. I'm very, it's first thing I do. And then I find at the end of the day that I didn't have the yogurt or I didn't have something that I planned that would have been the better thing to eat and would have had instead some of the nuts or, maybe the
So at
bread.
the, but at, even when you're doing that, so at some point you didn't have it because you weren't hungry. When you are eating like whatever it was, whether it's a replacement food or the exact food, are you hungry then? Or are you just having it because you didn't eat it earlier in the day?
No, I am hungry, but then I kind of have been thinking I didn't eat the yogurt. And like, I'm going out of town tomorrow. I'm going to my daughter's to puppy sit for a week. So I wanted to like finish up my yogurt and my cottage cheese before I left because my husband doesn't eat it. And I'm like, wow, I did not eat these yogurts. And I feel like that doesn't make sense if I'm planning to eat them. If I weren't hungry, I would see, I would understand it, but I'm not eating them, but I'm eating something else.
Yeah. So what if you think about this? What if you spent the next week, just say 1 week or whenever, like whether if you want to do it when you get back from dog sitting or whatever, just when it's easiest, spend a week actually following your plan. No changing it. Because I will say this, we don't talk about this a lot, but when we are talking about regains, we're talking about losing a little weight and all that kind of stuff. There are nuances that matter at times. There's nothing wrong with caramel pecans. But when you are supposed to eat yogurt and you don't, and then later you eat caramel pecans, you have traded something high protein for something low protein, more sugar based. Now, I'm not saying that the pecans are bad, but when you do that over time, you're basically cheating yourself out of some of the nutrition. Like there's a part of you that thinks yogurt's really good for me, and here's a good reason why I should eat it. And so we want to honor that version of you. Because I will tell you, like for me, if I eat sugary nuts every single day instead of eating chicken or yogurt, if I needed to lose 5 pounds, I wouldn't be able to. Now, if 2 days a week, I have sugary nuts, and I plan that as part of my day. The other days, I'm like, you know what? If I'm really trying to drop a few pounds, it would make sense that yogurt with higher protein and stuff, or chicken or whatever, probably is going to get me there. Then I'm sitting there thinking about it in a logical way. And I'm including food that is fun. And I'm also including food that I know helps me. That's the level up land. That's where we're mixing it up with good, better, best. That's where we're entertaining all the things. And that's how you actually get to a life of where it's like, I have food freedom. It's where you get to a life where you feel like I can eat the way I want and still lose weight, because a part of me also wants to eat healthy. And a part of me also wants fun foods. And I'm going to honor both sides, not just the one that wants pizza all the fucking time. Like, I don't know why I can't lose weight because I'm just down in mainlining pizza all day. You know, like it all comes together. So for you, I just want you to try maybe a week of just saying, like, I'm going to plan and I will be following that plan. And there will be no switcheroos. If I start feeling like it's unfair, if I start feeling like it's hard and it's depriving, that's thought work. That means I'm emotionally wanting to eat this right now. Because if I wasn't, if I was just like, no, this is what you planned, Corinne, and this is, you know, the version of you who knows what she wants and her dreams and her goals and all that kind of stuff, she said this was good. She really liked this plan. So if you don't like it, that's called thought work. Because you're wanting now to emotionally eat. You're thinking you're being deprived when this version of you says, no, you deprive me of my weight loss every time you change the plan. That's deprivation. And they're both like, hey, and now you want to bring them together and have them, like, they've got to live together.
I like that. And you know what? I think I will do it. I go up tomorrow, and it's perfect because I don't have to cook for my husband. So I'm not going to have any other, I can just focus on what I'm eating. So I think it's almost like I'm going to go to a little fat camp. I don't know.
Well, what it's going to do is it's going to give you a safe place to do it. And then when you come back, you need to be able to do it. Because if you can't do it when you're cooking for your husband, where you live all the time, you definitely have emotional going on. That is 100% emotional. Anytime that we feel like we can't follow our plans because our partner's eating different, that means I don't want to disappoint you, or I don't want to make you mad, or I want to be a people pleaser, I want to be accommodating. That's all emotional eating. Okay.
Well, and that really isn't, I mean, he's a super healthy eater. And we'll eat anything. We have like cabbage meals and lentils every week, and he's not a, meat and potatoes type guy, but it's like less, it's almost something for me to do, you know what I mean? When I'm not doing the cooking and the shopping and all that. So we'll see. But thank you very much. I really appreciate your tips and the answers, because I'm dreading seeing people next month up in Connecticut, and because I know they all know I've been working with a trainer, so it's like, how much have you lost? They're going to be saying. So I wrote down all the things you said that I'm going
They
to
may not care as much as you think, too.
say.
Just because you told them you were working with a trainer, I doubt, like, here's what I think. The people you're going to see next month are not sitting around on July 13th going like, I cannot wait to see Cheryl. So I just want to check her body and I want to ask her all the questions.
Oh, shoot. That's funny. All
All right, Cheryl. Have a
right.
good
Thank you.
one. All righty. Bye.
Okay. Bye.
All right, y'all, that is it. I'm getting out of here. I'm going to be recording your Kryn 365s for the rest of the afternoon. Fun times on a Sunday. Y'all have a good one. I will see you next week. Bye, y'all.